We are in our three-week Advent series. 3 weeks, right? Next week we're going to do a little something. 2 weeks? Sunday night? Yeah. We took a little break from Matthew. Last week, Kelly had talked about peace and what peace was and what it is and what it actually means. It's not this idea of, like, you know, oh, all things are going really well. My bank account's full. I'm healthy. My kids are healthy. All of these things. Yes, those things can cause and produce peace, but this isn't the peace that he talked about. He talked about the peace of God, and he used the word shalom, and we've heard that word. If you're a Christian and you've been in church for any amount of time at all, you've heard that word shalom. And it's this, I loved what he said. He said it's completeness. It actually completes us. So when we experience the peace of God, the shalom of God, it's the completeness of God. And that is cause for peace in our souls, despite what might be going on around us, despite how messed up this world is, despite our circumstances. Maybe we are in a financial hardship. Maybe someone isn't healthy. But this peace, this God peace, surpasses all of that. And that's a gift to us. It's not something that we deserve. It's not something that we can earn or strive for. It's just something that God gives to us, and it completes us. It makes us whole. This week, we're going to be looking at the prophecy of Jesus' birth out of the book of Isaiah. And it's, sorry, I lost myself already. And it's through the lens of joy. We looked at it through the lens of peace last week. This week, we're going to be looking at it through joy. I have a question for you guys. Have either any of you ever been so excited that you threw up? Take it, that's a hard no across the board. I haven't either, but in about 1985, I was seven. I have a twin brother, he's seven, older brother, he's 10. Christmas morning, we would wake up at like 5. Did anybody else do that? Like, you get up at 5, run and wake your parents up. Now the shoe's on the other foot, were the parents being woken up at 5. So my twin, running up and down the hallway, super excited, just like, oh, mom, dad, come on, get up. Hold on, hold on. That is joy. That is joy beyond, like, what I can ever even imagine joy being, you know? And he was, the thing is, he was so excited about the gifts that he was going to receive. He was so excited and filled with anticipation that he literally exploded. It was like this physical response to his excitement and his joy. And I share that story with you to just kind of give you a picture, not the throw up part, but to give you a picture of this joy. God wants to give us a joy that is like that, this excitement and this anticipation of a gift to come. And that gift is Jesus. And here in Isaiah, we'll see the prophecy of Jesus' birth. For to us a child is born, this passage will say. And so that's cause for joy. And it's cause for excitement. It should make us throw up because we're so excited. We're like, oh my gosh, there's this thing that's going to happen, and it's going to be huge. And it's, oh, I don't even know what to do with myself. I'm going to explode. So this prophecy is about Jesus' birth. But for us, we get to live in the gift of already receiving the gift of salvation because Jesus has already come. We get another gift. Jesus is going to return. So we still have something to be excited about. Joy doesn't go away. That thing has been fulfilled in our hearts and in our lives. That should cause joy into eternity in itself. But we have another gift coming. Another thing to anticipate and be excited for. And it's Jesus' return. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But I want to give you some context for this text before we actually read it. So Ahaz is the king of Judah at this time. And in chapter 7 and chapter 8 of Isaiah, he's considering partnering up with the Assyrians because they're about to be attacked by Israel and Syria. And so what happens is God comes to Isaiah, and he says, Isaiah, I need you to give this word to King Ahaz. And so he goes to Ahaz and he says, do not partner up with Assyria, basically. You're partnering up with an evil nation. And he tells him, a child is coming. I'm telling you this. You can have confidence in what I'm telling you because God is speaking to you. He's going to take care of you. He's going to provide for you. He's going to cover you. And he's going to do it through a child. So take confidence in that. don't partner up with this evil nation. They're worshiping false gods and idols and all of these other things. And this leads us into chapter 9. So God uses Isaiah to reassure Ahaz that he will protect them. And that verse, we'll actually read Isaiah 7:14 first, and it says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgins shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel means God with us. Advent, interestingly enough, means to come. So we're celebrating Advent because the birth of Jesus is to come, and that's what we celebrate. And the birth of Jesus comes, and we call him Emmanuel, and that is God with us. If you have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah 9, 2 through 7. And it says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of trampling warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace and of completeness and of shalom, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it never returns void. We thank you that we can trust on it as a firm foundation. This morning, Lord, I pray that as I speak, that you would be speaking through me, that the words that come out of my mouth are the words that you want your church to hear. Help me, Lord. I need you to use me this morning, not for my sake, but for your sake and for your glory and for the advancement of your church. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. If you remember last week, Kelly actually preached out of this exact same text. And what I love about that is, to me, that speaks to the depth of Scripture. We can take one portion of Scripture and we could actually spend weeks here. We could literally camp around Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And so that just was, as he was sharing with me about going through the same text, I thought, what a gift that is to us. And what an example of the depth and the width of Scripture. So don't get lost in the fact that we're in the same passage. Rejoice in that fact, because Scripture is limitless. We could camp in the same sections over and over and over again. And you might go back to a passage that you read 2 years ago and read it today, and it means something completely different depending on where you're at, depending on what God is saying to you, and that is a gift to us as well. We're going to look at three causes for joy in this passage, but before we do that, we need to define joy, and we need to describe joy. So right now we're going to go to verses 2 and 3, and this is joy described. And it says, "People who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil." Isaiah is giving us tangible examples for Judah. He's speaking to them, he's speaking to the king, and he's giving examples that they would understand and that they would relate to. We all understand the concept of darkness being extinguished by light. Where there is light, there can be no darkness. And then he says multiplication of nations. He's talking about the advancement of that kingdom and how it's going to grow. And so this country, this nation was war-torn and had been battle-weary and fought and was facing more battles and more fights. And so when they hear something like this, multiplication of nations, it means, oh, victory is coming. We're going to go take more land. And it's not necessarily about being violent against somebody. It's about the fact that there's joy in the fact that this nation is going to grow. He says, at harvest, there is always celebration. So they celebrate at the harvest. It's not like the farms that we see today, agriculture we see today. Let's pump water from the Colorado River or wherever we need it, turn on a valve, water these crops, and get what we need because we know how to water it. We know what to put in the soil. And then it produces all this fruit and all of these vegetables. This was completely contingent on how the earth performed, how the weather was. And so when they had a bountiful harvest, it was cause for joy. And these people, they celebrated. At every harvest, you see it in scripture. People threw parties at the harvest. And it was a joyful time. So when Isaiah says this, they go, oh, I know that joy. Every year, so long as we've had good rain and we've had good seed and it's been in good soil, we celebrate. He talks about the division of spoil, and this is actually a war reference. And what he's saying is, you know the battles that we won? So he's already talked to the guys who are in agriculture. Now he's talking to the guys who are in war. And he's saying, hey guys, you remember when you defeated that nation and you sat down and there was joy and excitement in your hearts for the victory that you just won, and you grabbed these things and you divide them and you're excited because you just won the battle and you're dividing the spoil. Remember that joy? That's the joy that I'm talking about. That's the joy that I want you to grab a hold of in your hearts and understand. So we have examples of joy. And now we're going to define joy. We know joy as an emotion, which it is. That's exactly what all of our emotions are, whatever it is, joy, anger, happiness, sadness, love. All these things are emotions. So that is a reality for us. However, joy isn't found in our circumstances. In this culture and in this day and age, and even back then, we place our joy in things that are tangible, that we can grab a hold of, like Kelly talked about with peace. How full is my bank account? I'm at peace. How full is my bank account? I'm full of joy. How empty is my bank account? I can't feel any joy right now because stress is the overriding emotion. Am I living in sin? Is this thing bearing down on my shoulders and I know that I'm not in the right with God and I can't experience joy because I've separated myself from God because of my sin? Is there, again, a sickness in your life that peace is being robbed from you or joy is being robbed from you, or someone who's in your family that's sick? I mean, these are causes for the lack of joy and or causes for joy on the other end of the spectrum if everybody's healthy and everybody's doing well. But this isn't what biblical joy is. It is an anticipation and it is an expectancy. And like Kelly had said a few minutes ago, and it was said in pre-service prayer with Donna, who's in with our kids, Isaiah prophesied this, and he's saying, be excited. Anticipate the coming of this child, because this child is going to win the war for you. And this child is going to be called Emmanuel, God with us. Anticipate this. Be excited for this. It was 700 years before it actually happened. But this is that biblical joy of like, God is coming, and I can have faith in that. The nation of Judah would have known that and would have seen that and would have known that that was true because of all the evidences of God showing up over the years and over the decades and over the hundreds of years through scripture that we can see. They would have known like, oh, I can put my trust in this. I can have faith in this. I can have anticipated joy for this word to come true, and I can live in that freedom because it's coming. And they had to wait 700 years. It's not it's an attitude we adopt, not because of happy circumstances, but because of our hope in God's love and promises. So there are three causes for joy that I see in this text. And the first one, it should be up on the screen, is number one, oppression is broken. That's cause for joy, isn't it? I mean, just that statement in itself, when we have oppression broken in our lives, is cause for joy. Verse 4 says, for the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. The reference to Midian is also something that Judah would have known. Gideon, in the book of Judges, God told him, hey, I want you to go defeat the Midianites. And he takes 22,000 soldiers, and God says, that's too many. So he cuts 12,000 of those soldiers out. And he has 10,000 guys left. And God says, that's too many. And so he takes these guys to the to a river, and God gives them, says, if guys drink this way, these are the guys you're going to keep. If guys drink this way, you need to set them aside. Don't take them to war with you. 300 guys drink the way that God had said for them in order for them to be able to fight. 300. From 22,000 soldiers down to 300. And they go and they fight this battle and they win. That's a miracle. That is nothing short of a miracle. And so Isaiah makes this reference, and Judah knows. Judah goes, yeah, we know about the 300. Scripture says that the Midianites were as numerous as the locusts. And when I was thinking about that, I'm like, well, you guys ever see the movie The Mummy with Brandon Fraser? I think that's the one. When that swarm of locusts comes in and there's like, you can't even see, it's dark. In my mind, when I'm reading this passage, that's what I think of. And I go, whoa, 300 guys did that work. Or even the movie 300. They funnel these guys into what was called the hot gates, and the Persians are just hammering them and hammering them and hammering them. And they're just, the Persians are just falling like flies. They all die in the end. But the Persians are just getting just completely beaten and slaughtered by these 300 men. That's what this is like. It's a miracle. And so Isaiah uses that example to tell Judah, hey, you remember what God did over here? He's going to do it again. So be joyful. Be excited. We were worshiping, and I felt the Lord say that there are some men and women here who don't know joy and who don't know how to get joy. And I felt the Lord say, look to me. I am your joy. I sent Jesus, and he went to the cross for you. That's cause for joy. And I felt the Lord say this morning to you who are feeling that way, to put on that robe of peace and to put on a robe of joy and to receive it, to not look at your circumstances, to not look at the situations that are robbing your joy, but to look to the cross, to look to Jesus and say, Lord, I receive your joy. I put all of that stuff aside. And I thank you that I get to live in the kingdom now where you've already come and you've already saved me and set me free. And I get to live in the kingdom not yet because you're coming back. And I know that to be true because your word says it's true and it should cause me joy. So I choose joy this morning. I'm telling you, church, if that's you, choose joy. God's heart is grieved by the things that you have to endure. He feels your pain. He feels your burden. But he doesn't want you to live in that place. He wants you to grab a hold of the truth of Scripture, the truth of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, and he wants you to experience his joy. So I want to encourage you this morning. Cast all that stuff aside and say, Lord, yes, I receive your joy this morning. I've shared the story with you guys about how I became a Christian. If you're new here, maybe you have been here for a little while, but I became a Christian in a cop car on October 20th of 2001, and I was on my way to jail for the last time. This part of the story I don't think I've told you. I was looking at 2 years up to, and potentially up to 10 in prison, and the public defender told me, you are going to do 2 years in prison. I'm trying to stop you from doing 10. And I'm like, okay. And I prayed and I gave my life to Jesus, and I didn't do that to get out of trouble. I did that because I knew no other way. And I needed help and I needed saving and I needed peace and I needed joy. And I wanted to be free from the sin and the things that bound me up that I couldn't break free from. And so my prayer to God was, I want you to be the one to decide my punishment. I realize I've done something wrong, and I know that I need to be punished for that. So I will accept whatever it is that comes my way, but I want it to be from you, not from anybody else. And so I'm going to court, I'm getting ready to enter my plea, and the public defender comes to me and she says, I've never seen anything like this in my life. I'm like, great, I'm doing 10 years in prison. And she says, they're offering you 90 days. and they're going to drop your drug charges completely, and they're going to drop your felony criminal charges to misdemeanors so you won't have any felonies on your record either. And I said, yes, I will take it. And I knew in that moment that God had broken the rod of my oppressor. I was guilty. Judah, the nation of Judah was guilty. We're guilty. But God sent Jesus and he broke the rod of the oppressor through Jesus on the cross. Point number two, cause number two for joy is weapons destroyed. Verse 5, for every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. A lot of people, we see these pictures of Jesus and we see this like beautiful face and perfectly flowing hair. But Jesus is a warrior. He is all of these things. I don't want to minimize the fact that he is peace and he is joy and he is love and he's all these things, but he's a warrior. And his birth was a battle cry. His birth was saying, Satan, no more. No more. I'm going to take what you have done. I'm going to take the oppression. We're going to battle. And everything that you throw at my people is going to be burned for fuel for joy. He's taking the things that hold us back currently, our circumstances, our finances, our relationships, our sin, all of the things that take the joy out of our hearts, that biblical joy that God wants us to experience, and he's burning them to the ground. I want to ask you this morning, church, what are those things in your heart or in your life that separates you from God, that separates you from the peace of God, from the joy of God? Give them to him. He's going to burn them, and they're going to be fuel for your joy. The third and most important cause for joy, a child is born. Verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I said it already, but the best part about this prophecy as 21st century Christians is it's already been fulfilled for us. Jesus came, took on flesh, endured every trial, every temptation, and was without sin and went to the cross and died in our place, took on the crucifixion, the punishment that we deserve, even though we still sin. That's miraculous. We still commit sin. And God says, I'd do it again. I'd do it for one of you. I've done it for all of you. I would do it for one of you. And I would do it again. That second cause for joy we've already talked about is the second coming of Christ. When he returns and he redeems this planet and he says, I'm going to create a new heaven and a new earth. That's cause for joy. Expectant, anticipated joy. We know he's already fulfilled this thing. Now we get to be excited about, we're excited because we live here, but we get to be excited because this is yet to come. But we know it will because the word of God does not return void. And we know it to be true in our own lives, don't we? I do. When I was preparing for this season has not been marked with joy for me. I typically am a really joyful person, and you might not know that in my mind and in my heart, I've had to endure trial after trial and hurdle after hurdle over the last year. Steph and I, we've fought. We've had to fight for joy. And there have been many nights when we've laid down and we've cried and we've poured our hearts out to one another and we've prayed because that joy's been absent. And when I read this, and I was thinking, wow, I have to talk about joy, and this season hasn't necessarily been marked by that. I stopped and I meditated and I prayed and I remembered. And I immediately wept because there's no reason for me to not be joyful. These aren't tears of sadness. These are tears of joy. These are tears of love that I have received. It's a gift. And I want to encourage you, if you're feeling that, stop. Just stop for a moment and think about what God has done in your life. Reveal, ask him to reveal those areas where he showed up and you didn't think he would. Or when you became a Christian. Lorelai read it this morning. She said, in that passage, it's one of my favorite passages where David had a gift in this particular verse in my mind. He says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. In my mind, the key in that passage is your salvation. He knew it wasn't his. It was a gift given to him. So he tells God, restore to me the gift that you gave me. Help me to remember my salvation. So if you're feeling that, think about the things that God has shown up in your life. Remember those. They're cause for joy. Jesus came. That prophecy has been fulfilled. It's such a gift to us. Jesus is called Wonderful Counselor. He's not like a counselor that we go pay to help walk us through the problem to get to the solution. He is the solution. He's the solution to everything. He's called Mighty God, and he is exactly that. He has power over sin and death. There's nothing in this life that he can't do. He's an everlasting father. He's eternal. And as adopted sons and daughters, he is our eternal, everlasting father. He's the Prince of Peace. I said it before and I'll say it again. He's the Prince of Shalom. He's the Prince of Completeness. He is the Prince of Absolute Perfect Peace. And the only full completeness can be found in Christ. So we know what joy is. We know what causes there are for joy. The question is then, how do we obtain joy? We have this wonderful gift in the Trinity called the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit lives in the heart of every believer. And that's where we find joy. I'm going to give you a few passages. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, 22 through 25, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. I want to live like that. I want to be full of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I mean, I know we're talking about joy here, but all of these other things are combined with the fruit of the Spirit. Don't you long for that? Don't you want that? I do. Joy is not in eating and drinking, but in the Holy Spirit. In Romans 14, 17, it says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. This is about a relationship. This is about communion with God. This is about stopping and taking your time to relish in his presence. And when we do that, I said it a few minutes ago, when you stop and you think on these things and you meditate on these things and you get in fellowship with God's Spirit, it's inevitable. You will feel joy. You might feel conviction. That's a God-given thing. Repent and get to a place of joy. Becoming followers of Jesus gives us joy in the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 1:6, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word with much affliction, with joy of the Holy Spirit. Thessalonica received this through much affliction, Scripture says. So it's easy for us to remember, hey, okay, I've got this. I can do this and experience joy through much affliction. They did it. I can do it too. And it's through the Holy Spirit. Jesus knew joy. Jesus anticipated future joy. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he was so distressed that he sweat blood. He asked God, can this cup pass from me? but if not, your will be done. So he knew what it was like to face adversity and affliction, but he also knew future joy because he knew he was going to go sit at the right hand of the Father. Hebrews 2:12 says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He knew future joy, and he lived from that place. Could you imagine if Jesus' focus wasn't on his future glory with his Father in heaven? How hard that would have been for him. We already see it in Scripture how hard it was for him knowing that that was going to happen. Imagine if he didn't focus on that, if his focus was elsewhere, if his focus was in his circumstance. Like, Lord, I can't do this. This is too much for me to bear. That wasn't his focus. His focus was, Lord, this is gonna hurt and it's gonna be hard, but I know that it's for your glory and this is your will to save your people. And I know that I have future joy in you at your right hand. So yes, I will endure that cross. This joy is a gift to us. It gives us fuel to move forward in our lives together as brothers and sisters. I want to encourage you guys to be joy bringers and to be joy bearers with one another in your workplaces, with your kids, wherever you find yourself, especially in this season. You go into Costco or wherever you're shopping at, Nordstrom or whatever it is, and people are frustrated because of the lines, and they want to get gas, and the line is out the parking lot, and they're trying to get food, but everybody's eating out because it's the holiday season, and that's what everybody does, and you're frustrated, and you're anxious. You just want to get back home. You just want to get this thing paid for. This season is not about that. This season is about the prophesying of a child coming to save us. And this season is a cause for us to celebrate with joy for that coming. And then cause for us to look into the future of the second coming of Christ. Ben, you want to join me up here? We're going to take communion. And I just want you guys to hang in with me for a moment. Maybe you're here this morning and you felt like I felt. And I've already talked about this. And I'm going to keep banging this drum. But you don't feel joy this morning. And you're focused on circumstances that are taking away from you something that God wants to give you. And it's holy. It's supernatural. You have an opportunity to go to the table and grab communion and sit in the presence of a holy God, the creator of all things, and think on those things. Repent. Forgiving yourself away to the things of this world that distract you and take you away from the things of God. This is an opportunity for you to soak in the truth that you've been saved, kingdom now, and that he's coming again, the kingdom not yet. Maybe you're here and you don't have a relationship with Jesus. And you're listening and you're hearing these words of joy and you're hearing these words of expectancy and you're hearing these words of peace and love and all of these different things. And you're like, I want that. This is an opportunity for you this morning to say, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. I surrender to you. I want to be a partaker in that joy. I want to be a partaker in that expectant joy and future glory. We want to invite you into that relationship this morning. We're going to have prayer teams at the back as well. And as I've said already, the way to get this joy is through the power of the Holy Spirit. And these prayer teams are going to be back there to pray for you, to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that you can feel and experience that joy, an anticipated joy, an expectant joy, a fulfilled joy because Jesus has already come, but an expectant and anticipated joy because he's coming again. So we want to invite you to get prayer for that if that's you this morning. We also have offering boxes up at the tables. This is for our Southlands family as another act of worship. If you're visiting with us, you are a guest. Please feel no obligation to give. This is just another opportunity for us to give to a God who pours out endless joy on us. I'm going to pray, and we can go to the tables and take communion, sing another song. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy that you've already bestowed upon us through Jesus. And we thank you for the future joy in his coming again to redeem this world and create a new heaven and a new earth. We say yes and amen to the joy and peace that you offer us in this Christmas season. We say yes and amen to living in fellowship with one another. We say yes and amen to living in fellowship with you, Lord. And as we go to the table, God, and we take the cup that represents your poured out blood for us and the cracker that represents your broken body, we do this in remembrance of you. You said, Jesus, to do this in remembrance of you. And so we do that with joy in our hearts, knowing that you already came and fulfilled the prophecy that Isaiah was talking about to Judah, the kingdom of Judah. Restore to us the joy of your salvation this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.